There we go.
All right. Now we're. You know, it's weird. I checked for the email there, and I didn't see an email come in. Hmm. And so, yeah, I've been doing this forever, and I still have issues where I don't know how to do.
Still drunk from St. Patrick's Day.
Something like that. let's start that again.
Bling.
Doesn't matter.
Hello.
Hello.
I get do-overs. There we go.
This sounds familiar.
I know it does. Welcome to In Game Chat, Saturday, March 18th, 2017, Season 11, Episode 10. I'm Scott.
Yeah. I'm still here.
Yeah, you want to get in touch with us, phone number 334-272-9228.
Everyone.
274-272-9228. InGameChat.net, Twitter, InGame Chat, Facebook, InGame Chat. Email us, everyone at InGameChat.net. Streaming on Twitch, go to the search bar, type in InGame Chat. You can find us at Twitch.tv, and you can watch us live while we broadcast.
Yada, yada, yada.
Thanks. And there you go. There's the opening. We're doing a speed run of the show.
I think achievement unlocked.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday.
You know, I gotta say thanks to the listeners in the chat room for letting us know how, you know, we weren't online.
Yeah. And I apologize for that. And I apologize to everybody listening to have to listen to
the radio.
For everybody who did get to hear that, got to hear it twice. Whatever, it ate up some time. Welcome to the show, everyone. we'll try and do better with that.
This is how we do filler for, like, you know, when we don't have much to say. We just restart the show.
Yeah, really. That's it. Just restart the show. And everything is better again. So
I say, like, you know, coming after every break, we should do that.
Start it twice? Yeah. Now we won't do that to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Sorry for the mishap, but whatever. I have nothing to blame it on.
Yeah, it's what we do.
Other than you do it long enough, your head gets into this robotic mode of like you're just going through the motions. And then,
muscle memory, just,
right.
You know.
So when you skip a motion, it doesn't register.
Yeah.
Just feel like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm doing all the usual things. It just didn't register that I had not actually started the stream itself or the recording of the show.
So
anyway, we're all set.
About video games.
Talking it on the video games, which I have not really played a lot of this week. I played a little bit more of Horizon Zero Dawn. That is pretty much all I have played all week this week. That is it. And it's just a little bit. It's not even very much. Not even enough to tell you that I've gotten hardly any further into the game than I did the last time we talked about it. My headphones are being really weird. It's really annoying.
Is it one of those situations where you were looking at the scenery in the background instead of progressing with the story?
No, not really. So Horizon Zero Dawn has, you know, it's got a little bit of sneak in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I do in sneak? I take my time on sneak and work my patterns and learn my ins and my outs. And
anything like snoo-snoo?
No. It's more like snipe.
Yeah.
Like so, Sniper Elite 4, yeah. Right? I take my time and I do my thing.
Yeah,
and
you're in it for a good while.
Right, except this is an open world, so I can't just... So, like, on a map like in Sniper Elite 4, I can tag a bunch of enemies, and then I can say, you know, I can either deal with these guys now, or let me go to a different part of the map and start tagging those enemies.
But you have a good visual idea of where people are.
But Horizon, it's an open world, so it's not like I can tag these guys, and then let's go around, tag some other guys, and make sure I know my placement. It's random. They're there and they're not there. They're, you know, there is no get everybody tagged before I start going in on the mission type thing. It's all open world, so I don't do that. Hey, it's Rib Shack. It's Kevin. Hey, Kevin. Glad he was in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I still take my time and I watch their patterns and I see which ones. I am getting better about it now because it's getting easier and easier to knock a one-hit kill on some of these guys.
Okay.
But as soon as you knock a one-hit kill, if he's got other guys around...
It alerts them?
It doesn't alert them. Okay. Only if they're not facing the direction of the fallen animal that I've taken down, they won't notice until they face that way again and notice that the body is down. And then it's like, what happened over here? And it'll come and investigate, and then I can do a little quick little silent kill. And then that'll...
Little stab-stab?
Little stabby-stab. And then that'll, you know, the other one will turn around and see, you know, depending on how many are around, and then you just wait till they come over and stab-stab again. So, so there's a little bit of patience involved with that that I'm sort of taking my time with. If anybody is curious where I'm at, and you can easily tell how not far into the game I am. Mm-hmm. I just got to the part where you have to do the proving. Like, we just lifted the lanterns into the air, put it that way. We lifted the lanterns into the air, and then it went to, hey, go to this point over here and start your proving thing. And I went and I saved my spot, and I haven't jumped back in either. So I have not touched Zelda. It's been an entire week, and I have not touched Legend of Zelda.
I'll take your Switch. I'll touch it for you.
It's a little intimidating. And I wrote about this a little bit in the show post for last week. It's a little intimidating because it's always like this. Whenever a game comes out, and two things with it, or maybe even three. It's Zelda, for one thing. It's Zelda. It's got a pedigree behind it. This happened, I think, with me and James in Bastion.
Mm-hmm.
It took me and James forever to play Bastion. I still don't know if he's played Bastion.
I played a little bit of it.
But I finally got around to playing it after I heard so much praise and so many people telling me, oh, it's great, you play this game.
The music is good.
You haven't played Bastion? Oh, man, you're missing out. I played Bastion. I was not disappointed, but I didn't have this awe of amazingness that I was expecting from what everybody had said.
Maybe because the hype for it was too much?
Possibly. I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe because I waited too long and I had seen things come before it that had already maybe done what it did or surprised me in a better way. I really don't know. But so there's a little bit of an intimidation there to get started with it because it's like, oh, crap, what if it puts me in the position of, oh, man, I don't like this. You know, here's a thing with like tens and tens and tens and a lot of major popular opinion of this is a really great game.
A lot of praise on this.
Yeah, and then I get in there and I don't like it, and then it's like, oh, God, why did it not click for me like it's clicked for everybody else? Plus, it's really the only reason to buy a Switch right now.
Yep.
So if this does not click with me, here I am sitting with a Switch. I could sell, I guess. If it really doesn't click with me, I suppose I could do that. So, yeah, it's a little bit intimidating. Plus, it's a big game. It's a large, large game to get started with.
Yeah. Very open world.
Massively open world, and there's just a lot to go on with it. And
one of my friends was playing it, and you know, I saw like as soon as like you start off in a cave, you know, Link wakes up, and then you get.
I guess, played that part.
Yeah, but like as soon as you get out of the cave,
it's open
and
world.
Like the open world,
you can go anywhere.
It's like there it is, explore.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's kind of like where do you start? You know, I guess you kind of have an idea. There's like a sanctuary or something like that over here to the left.
Yeah, there's
the
a
right,
dude that's like, hey, come over here and talk to me. And then you know, you can kind of get things
but
started.
But you don't even have
way.
To. You could just go in the complete opposite direction.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And be like, yeah, whatever.
You can do whatever you want.
I felt that way during Oblivion back in the 360 days.
Didn't play it because Oblivion's not my thing. I tried to play it.
As soon as you get out of, like, you know, because you start off and you're...
I didn't get out of the prison.
Yeah, you're in the prison with Jean-Luc Picard, right? You know? And as soon as you get out of the prison... And you open up the gate, and there's the world of, you know, Tamriel. And you're just like, all right, now what? And, like, from there, I just went off and did every little, like, side quest. I didn't even start the main mission. Because, like, the very next mission you're supposed to do is give the medallion to some guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't even do that. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I just went off on my own little tangent. Yeah. So I get the feeling like Zelda's kind of you could play it like that.
Yeah. But I haven't even started that yet. So Horizon's all I've been playing. I've been going through a cold thing that I'm actually coming out of. So it's been a lot of eating soup and sleeping for me the past week. So I do plan to put in more time with that and put in I probably will jump back into Sniper Elite, having only 3 levels left. Kind of wanted to get into Hitman after you fired that up and because we got an elusive target.
Yep, I did that.
That popped up, so... But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody, and we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about the games that we played. Like I said, I have not played very much, and what I have played is very, very little, so not much on my end to talk about, but Matt's been playing stuff. RJ went to a tournament last weekend, which is why he was not here, and he will be telling us a lot about that as well. And in fact, we've got a few, we got time here. You want to talk about what you played before you tell, save the tournament talk for the, for right after the next break.
Okay.
Have you played anything outside of the tournament stuff though?
Well, after the tournament, still was playing a little more of Street Fighter V and Guilty Gear Xrd.
Yeah.
Other than that, played a Disc Jam. I played a lot of Disc Jam.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I downloaded that and I've got that, and we should probably, you know, we should probably play a game or two together.
Yeah.
Because there's 4v4, or not 4v4, 2v2. But it's 2v2, so four players can play each other on that one. And it's a free game, part of PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Plus, it is
so
free.
So it'd be great to get in on some of that. And
they're still working on some stuff. The two-man team they got there, they plan on making more more maps, more courts, I guess you want to call it, more characters.
Yeah.
The one thing that gets me, though, is the there's no skill level matching or whatnot. You know, you're gonna have someone who's got a lot more experience than you playing.
So it's four honored.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
You're gonna get you're gonna get some real lopsided matches.
Of course.
Because there were some players that I met online that was doing some really nasty looking throws that I couldn't even I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Pretty much, and I had no idea how to counter that. So. It's a learning process. I'm going to be playing that a little more because it is a fun game to play. Really easy to pick up and learn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to master. Little things that are a little hard to master just takes practice, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any more time with Neo?
No, I haven't picked that up since I was prepping for
Final
Round, actually.
Yeah. Understand. And Nier Automata, are you interested in that?
I'm interested in it. I haven't picked it up, but it is a platinum game. So that really did get my interest initially, but I'm probably going to wait a little while on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to who do we have on the phones?
Bismo Funyuns.
What is his name?
Bismo Funyuns.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Katie.
Oh,
hey, or Katie.
Bismo Funyuns works.
Okay. Where are you calling from, Katie?
Montgomery?
Okay. Just curious where you're going.
Like, I'm sure. I'm like, I don't know. Why do you want to know?
That's all. What's on your mind? What you calling for?
Okay. I'm playing Breath of the Wild right now.
Okay.
I paused it so I could call in.
Okay, good.
And I just wanted to say that I think that it's really cool that you don't even start off with a weapon. Like, you have to go find your own weapon.
Yeah, it's a branch laying on the ground.
You had to use a stick.
Yeah,
you can tickle people's leaves.
Yeah, I played the first 10 minutes of the game I played at PAX South, and I was really just trying to get an idea. Are you playing it on the Wii U or are you playing it on Switch?
On the Wii U.
Okay. I was just trying to get a sense of how the Switch felt and everything else, but I was paying attention to a little bit of what I played, and, you know, when it opened up there, I did get that sense of, well, I could just go anywhere right now, and I turned and there was something like shining in the grass, and you walk over and it's like, here's a stick, pick it up, you have a weapon, congrats. You know, so
it irritates me so much that all of your stuff breaks so quickly, but at the same time I really like that, because like then you have to go like find more weapons and stuff, and I like the feel of that.
That has been a game mechanic that has been praised and also crapped on.
Like, if you get the Master Sword, will that break?
The Master Sword will break.
Master
Sword will break?
Yeah. That should not happen.
I didn't know that. No, don't take my word for it.
You said it.
Okay. I've heard that it will.
You said it. We believe it now.
But isn't that typically the case in games where your weapons degrade?
Yeah, but it's the Master Sword.
That's beside the point. It's still a weapon.
No, it's the Master Sword.
Yeah, the Master Sword shouldn't break.
Yeah.
I'm okay with everything else breaking, but the Master Sword is something that should not
break. I'd rather
break.
Link break than the sword.
Given that the weapon degradation system is such a big part of the game, some of you might be wondering if the legendary Master Sword is subject to breaking as well. Unfortunately, the answer to that question is yes. Master Sword.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, Master. Everything breaks. Everything breaks in that game. I haven't played it, so I don't know, but I think, can't you do something to, like, sort of heal your weapons, maybe, on...
I have Flint. I don't know what Flint will do, but I have Flint.
Yeah, I'm curious if, like, when you start getting into the metal swords and stuff like that, that are, if you can somehow, you know, I don't know.
I'm guessing usually in a case like this, there's some type of item or some type of blacksmithing element that you can use to repair your weapons or strengthen them or modify them, something like that.
Yeah.
Anything that'll slow down the degrading of your weapon.
That was Chris, and he said that the Master Sword doesn't break, but it has to recharge after you use it. Like, if you use, like, all the power.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Yeah. The first thing I saw when I Googled it was that, yes, it does break.
I don't know. But okay. Crazy.
Maybe it'll break if you try to use it when it's low on power.
Charge?
It's possible. I don't know.
All right. So. Well, I mean, I'm okay with that, I guess. Just, like... Yeah, I had a boomerang, and I, like, threw it off of a cliff and into the water, and I'm just like, well...
Isn't it supposed to come back?
Not if you throw it in the water.
It comes back with a fish.
Yeah.
If you throw it in the water, it does not... It can't work.
Yeah, you have to make sure you don't throw it somewhere that's going to, like, go off something. I either did that, or it was in one of those temple things, one of the shrines.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I haven't fired mine up yet, so I don't know, but I do have the game. I haven't played it. It's a little intimidating, because it does throw you into this world, and it's like... Great. What do I do next? And there's just so
much you want
stuff.
At the very beginning, you can't go just anywhere yet. You have to go.
You have to go talk to old dude by the cave, man. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You have to go to the old man, and then you have to do the four shrine things, and then you get the paraglider, and then the paraglider you can go over the thing, over the wall, and be in the actual world. So, I mean, at the very beginning, it doesn't just throw you to. The world.
How far into the game are you? How many hours
have
you put in?
I think, I don't know how many hours. At least a few.
Okay.
I have, I've done 8 shrines now, I think. I'm about to do my ninth, and I just tamed a horse.
How many shrines are there?
I don't know.
I don't know. They're like 50-something.
Okay,
least.
I was going to say, at least 9, man.
Yeah.
All
right.
I have a friend that's like 52 or 53 in right now.
All right. Cool.
So, sent us a link in the chat room. We're at the unbreakable weapons and shield locations. Okay.
Okay, so I guess there are some unbreakable weapons. And
The Hylian shield, apparently, the ceremonial trident, and the light scale trident seems to be things that are unbreakable for you.
Okay, thank you.
So there you go.
Thank you.
Anyway, so you're enjoying the game, I guess.
Yes, I love this game.
Wonderful. Are you playing anything else?
Not at the moment. I was playing, I play the DS a lot.
Okay. Well, this is your first time calling in, so, or at least it sounds, is this the first time you've ever called the show?
Yes.
All right, well.
I'm one of Matt's friends, and I've just been kind of like,
120
I've listened
shrine.
To the show for a while, but I have been way too nervous to call in, so.
Oh. Well, I hope that we didn't ruin that for you.
No, I'm glad I did.
Okay, good. We want you to call in.
Way less nerve-wracking than I thought it would be.
Of course, it's just Matt.
What? What about me?
She's a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Matt. So, all right. Well, thank you for calling in. Go back and enjoy your Zelda, and hopefully we'll hear from you in the coming weeks about your progress.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Nope. If you want to call in, go ahead and do so. 334-272-9228 is our number. 334-272-9228. I love how if we talk about Zelda, Chris just calls in. Here's an update. Here's an answer to your question.
Yeah,
it's
120.
Here's the answer to your question. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye. Here's the answer.
He's like our, you know, fact checker, I guess.
Yeah.
In a way.
A resident expert.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I've got the strategy guide at home. I should pop that.
Oh, yeah, that nice one.
Oh, the really nice one. The hardcover. The hardcover.
Hardcover, yeah.
The, what?
Who made it?
I don't know.
Future Press, hopefully.
Let me look it up. Breath of the Wild.
It's the
special edition strategery. God, what do we got?
Tin case cover.
That says Amazon. Let's see what Amazon has here as I click on it. That's the one. It is hardcover. By Piggyback?
Really?
Mm.
I just remember Prima doing...
No, usually the hardcover, the good hardcovers I've seen, the best ones are done by like Future Press.
Okay.
They're really good at they're really good with the strat guides.
Yeah, publisher is Piggyback.
Did you ever get the Hyrule Historia? Mm. That was...
I'm not a Zelda guy.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, I played Wind Waker.
Yeah.
I played Wind Waker, and then eventually I'll get around to playing Breath of the Wild.
Well, maybe this will change that for you.
But that hardcover is so pretty. It's so pretty. I should bring it in.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
Next week. Mm-hmm. I'd open that thing up, too. Then I could have had a bunch of answers to her questions.
Yeah, I just got one for Neo, a special hardcover that's on pre-order.
I'm not really big on those, because, I mean, you know, if I get questions, I always hit the internet and find them as fast as I need to.
Well, for me, it's the collectability and the,
there's that.
They usually got the special artwork in there that, that you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
What was weird to me was that it was going to come out well after the game was released.
Yeah.
Maybe because they wanted to save time for, I don't know, DLC or something else afterwards. Hmm. I mean, they did that with Bloodborne. They had the initial release of the game, and then later on, they made another Strat guide for the Old Hunters DLC.
Yeah.
A little one to add after that.
Who do we have on the line?
Lee from Wetumpka.
Hey, Lee.
I don't know if you need to say from Wetumpka.
Yeah, that's fine. I was going to probably ask him where he was calling from, but what's
now
up?
We know.
Hey, Lee, how's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. I was doing fine. I was going to pick my niece up from work, and of course, I realized you guys were on, and after about 3 minutes, I'm off to GameStop. So I just want to let you know your influence is horrible.
What are you going there for? What are you going to go? Are you anything on your mind to pick up or what?
Not really. I know all the guys there, so I'm just going to harass them and talk about the Monday night launch of Andromeda.
Which
I'm going to their 9 o'clock.
Which GameStop are you going to?
Wetumpka.
Mm-hmm. See if they have any Wii U's there.
I've
been looking for one.
You've been looking for a Wii U?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want? They're like 4 Wii U's.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Really?
Yeah, I was there the other day, and they were talking about how many Wii U's they've been shipped for whatever reason.
Really? Because I've been to the pawn shops here in town, and nobody.
I didn't know you were looking for. If I knew you were looking for some, I could have put you in touch with some people on NeoGAF because they got a buy sell trade thread. That's where I bought my Legend of Zelda game system from.
Okay.
And Wii U's have been popping up all over there. James was looking for some.
It depends on on the price.
U's going for on the trade sites?
Well, the trade sites are throwing in games and stuff, so it's usually hitting around $250, but you get five games with it.
See, that's what the one GameStop in East Chase had $250 for a used Wii U. And I was like,
but it was just the used Wii U, nothing else with it.
Yeah, that was it.
See, you're getting the trade sites and stuff are throwing in a bunch of games with it and stuff like that. So, I mean,
I know you can't buy a warranty when you do something like that, but most gamers, if they have a higher end system and they're getting rid of it, they've taken care of it and they're moving on to whatever comes next. So,
pretty
good about getting a second hand system.
Yeah, and the people on here who are selling these things, they'll have to deal with just the swath of ridicule from everybody else in the thread if you come back saying, here's the. He sold me a piece of junk. Don't ever buy from him.
Right. Right.
So it's, I'm trying to look right now. There's a Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Special Edition, 2 NES Classics for $145 each. See if I can find a Wii U real quick. Yeah. Just scanning through the new
Classics are still going over $100. That's crazy.
Jeez.
Yeah. Mm. Here's a guy selling some games for his Wii U.
Yeah,
Bayonetta 2 with the Bayonetta already included is selling for $55.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a special. Do they not come with the? Does it not come with the first game packed in anymore?
I know it did, but I don't think there was a version where it didn't.
Yeah. I don't think I ever played the first Bayonetta. I know there was much hype around it, but I never did.
Mm-hmm.
Never played it.
Yeah,
I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn right now. That's all consumer.
Yeah, I was just talking about that when we started the show, was that I'm not very far into it. I've gotten to the point where this is how early in the game I'm in. I just released the lanterns at the proving or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, that's how far. I'm not making very good speedy progress into that game.
Well, I was a little disconcerted when it started out in child mode there, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to play a life. I have a life. But
right.
Then it advanced fairly well, and I'm father of two, and full time business and all that. So yeah, I end up going and playing until I doze off, and then I'm rousted out to go to bed or whatever. But it's one of those games where I've probably fallen asleep at the wheel every night this week, gotten about an hour in, but it's really gripping, and the resource gathering is not so mundane.
It's not, but man, it triggers my OCD something horrible. Because every time I pass by something that I can go over there and pick up, I got to go over there and pick it up, whatever it is.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the thing is, you know, you'll be moving along, you know, going to do Project X, you know, or Quest, whatever. And then you'll remember, oh, my God, I need a rabbit bone because a rabbit just ran across your path. So then I find myself 12 miles out of the way in the middle of a bunch of
rabbits.
Sawtooths because a freaking rabbit distracted me.
Yep.
But, you know, it's cool that it does that because it takes you off the normal thing. And then inevitably, a couple of times I've ran into, you know, the green exclamation marks where there's a side quest that I might not have known about had I not been taken off the beaten path.
So, that's true.
My favorite pastime has come hunting down bandit caps with Neil. So,
yeah.
That's, you know, once you get frozen in the game, you understand what I'm talking about. It's a character that's really off the wall, and he likes to kill bad guys. So.
All right. Yeah, I'm not very far into it, but I do enjoy playing it. I really do like playing it. So
that's not a large reveal, but it's something that you get a kick out of once you understand what I'm talking about. But are you guys all jazzed up for Andromeda?
No.
I'm curious about it, man, and I want to start reading some reviews, because right now the only thing that I've seen on this game is how horrible the facial animations are. That's all I've seen in threads about
I've heard
how
not just the facial animations, like the walk animation. I mean,
a lot
like
of the animations are having some issues. But
what, did they not use motion capture or something?
I don't know. I don't know the thing about that. I just saw a video though where they compared the Xbox One and the PS4 version.
How was the comparison?
Yeah, the PS4 was inched out just a bit there. The PS4 plays in 1080p while the cutscenes render at 900.
Okay.
And the Xbox One plays at 900 while the cutscenes render at just a hair above 720.
This on the PS4 Pro?
I try to isolate myself. When there's a known quantity like a Mass Effect or... for instance, the just announced or just revealed in Game Informer, the new Uncharted, I try to literally black out my exposure to anything because I want as much surprise.
Yeah, you don't want to be tainted.
Well, I've been that way about Mass Effect, I haven't been that way about Mass Effect. I'd like to be that way with a few games, but and usually with Naughty Dog developers that are trusted like that, I can go ahead and say, sure, I'm all in. I don't care what they show off. Mm-hmm. I don't have to see it or not because I'm good. I know that they're going to put out some quality there. But, you know, after they decided to do this Mass Effect thing, I was very curious as to how they're going to do it, what they're doing about it. How do they go from what they did in Mass Effect 3 to doing Mass Effect Andromeda? How do they start? I was just curious about it. And so once I dipped my toe in the water, I made a decision from there. Am I going to buy this game or am I not? And it was put onto my radar to let's keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
And then I kept watching it over and over, and I was, maybe a few episodes ago on this show, I was talking about how I actually kind of am interested in Andromeda. It's got the co-op mode back for the Horde stuff when you do the multiplayer, I think. It's got some version of a co-op multiplayer segment in there. But and I watched more, and I watched more, and the more they kept showing, the more I started thinking, I don't know if I'm up for this. I don't know if it's a thing for me. I don't know.
For me, Mass Effect 3 just sort of it was a good complete. You know, all right, it completed it. You know, you had the idea of Shepard. You know, he had his arc or her arc, and it finalized it. And I'm like, all right, I'm good with the three games. And that's why I like this one. Like so many years later, I'm just like, I don't know if I need it. You know, I mean, maybe once it goes down in price or something like that, I can.
It is something I may go back to. It's just that, you know, my plate right now is just getting nothing but full because I'm taking so long with Horizon. I've still got Sniper Elite 4, almost done with that, so I'd leave that off my plate. But I've got Horizon, I've got Zelda, and then the same day that this game comes out, the Mass Effect hits, I'm going to get an update for Destiny. And that's going to bite into my OCD as well.
Oh, also, Lord. You'll fall off Horizon Zero Dawn now with your Destiny.
I know.
So what are you playing? It's October 2018. Well, I'm just finishing up Destiny.
Destiny, yeah. Which one? The second one that came out? Nope. Still doing the first one. Still
trying. Exactly. I'm hoping to get to that new game Horizon Zero Dawn soon.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I don't mind it being a similarly branded title. You know, there's nothing wrong with having it, as long as the game itself Right. You know, it's just like the recently released was a Torment Tides of Numenera.
Yeah.
You know, I'm anxious to play that. I've got a buddy who, unbeknownst to me, for a gift, had got me some Kickstarter package. So I took my PS4 version back, and he's got my PC version because we played Planescape Torment back in the day together. And,
fantastic.
He's got me a cloth map coming, all these goodies, and I was like, oh, that's going to be amazing. So
I want to say I was a backer on that as well, because we had those guys on our show way back when this Kickstarter first came about. We had those guys on the show.
Check into it.
Do what?
I said, you should definitely check into it.
Yeah, I know. I know I backed it, so I got to go back and find my code so I can put it on my system if I haven't already done that. But, God, you know, hey, there's another game to add to my plate. So,
exactly. RJ, I'm not even touching that one until I get...
What were you saying, RJ?
I was saying that it doesn't help that the first quarter of this year has been loaded with so many top-tier type of games.
That's a great point, RJ. It's a huge start to the year.
Not a bad release year so far.
I said the first quarter's been almost as good as the whole year last year. I mean, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was a great year.
What are you playing it on there, Lee? What are you going to be playing Mass Effect on?
PS4.
Okay.
Yeah, we had an Xbox One briefly, and... you know, just, I don't know, the titles weren't there. I was excited for all the titles that weren't there, you know, and Uncharted, two or three others that my kids wanted, which they don't play a lot of console, when I get the Switch, I will get them both a Switch, and that way they can do whatever. You know, of course, I say my kids, like, they're tiny, they're 17 and 15 now, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Lethal Migraine is reminding us that Mass Effect is on EA Access right now. You can actually play Mass Effect Andromeda right now. Through EA Access. And then,
really?
Well, you can on PS4, because PS4 doesn't have the EA Access program. But if you've got a PC with Origin, you can sign up for EA Access. It's $5 a month, I think. Or is it 10? It's either 5 or 10 bucks a month. And you can actually have access to Mass Effect Andromeda right now before it releases. And you can make up your mind that way.
Hmm. That'd be pretty cool.
That's not a bad idea.
As getting becoming an older gamer at 45... I've been gaming so long. Now, don't get me wrong, when a great shooter comes out, when I say a great shooter, I'm talking about something just out of the gate, you know, that really, I mean, I want the mouse and keyboard. There's nothing more complete than that layout. I know you can learn the control and all that, but I just love the mouse and keyboard for that. And then usually for most of my role-playing type games, Skyrim and Torment. But the action RPG shooters where everything's not necessarily 100 miles an hour, I just find it nice to fall asleep in my recliner than... in my leather desk chair.
Life goals.
You know, after a long day, it doesn't matter how good the game is. You know, it'll keep you up a little longer than the average game, but eventually sleep overtakes you. You know, that $600 lazy boy, I just throw a blanket on me, I'm good to go. You know, that the desk chair, there's all kinds of dangers around.
Well, Lee, we got to run and take a break. I appreciate you calling, though.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Take care.
If you want to get in on the show, give us a call, 334-272-9228. We got to take a break. All of our songs this week, we talked about this last week, but all of our songs this week come from the BAFTA Award nominees. These are all nominated for Best Soundtrack. So all the games that you'll hear, except for one, because they only nominate six, and I needed seven tracks. Or is it five and I needed six? No, it's six and I needed seven. So except for one... all of the other tracks come from BAFTA Award nominees, like our first one. This is Abzu, and this track is called To Know Water. We'll be right back. Abzu is a underwater game, by the way.
That would make more sense.
Makes more sense. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this.
I know this one.
Welcome back to In-Game Chats. Another nominated soundtrack for BAFTA's, I don't know, Achievement in Video Game Music, I guess. I don't know what the category name is.
I love how you could hear, if you know, I mean, if you know what it is, then you could hear the original in
it.
You know?
This is Doom and the title theme for it, 2016.
Yeah.
Doom.
That's a game I've been playing for, you know, you know Doom. If you're like old like us, you know Doom.
Oh, yeah, easily. RJ, tell us about Final Round.
Well,
we thought we'd get a call from
you. Didn't they have one last year?
They've been having it every year.
So how final is it?
No, it's not final. No, it's been running for 20 years now.
You're not even a dad, and you have dad jokes. go ahead, RJ.
Hey, as you were saying.
Yeah. Final Round, 20th anniversary was held this past, past weekend. You know, 13, 14 fighting game. We've had tournaments in all of them. Had numerous people from around the world.
How many
come
is this
play
for you? They've been doing it for 20. This is their 20th time.
Been doing it for 20 years. I think I've been going there since 14, I believe.
All right, six years.
Yeah. And I plan to go back.
Well, no, that wouldn't be 6 years. That would be 3 years. You've only been going 3 years?
Feels longer than that. The number.
It does feel longer than that.
The final round number. I've been going for a while. Just leave it at
okay.
that.
Okay.
I'll have to
all
think
right
about it later.
We'll do it that way.
I've been going for a while. Longer than 3 years, apparently. But, yeah, numerous fighting games that they have, these have in Atlanta every March or so. Had a new venue this year. We had to go to the Georgia International Convention Center.
Okay.
Because they need a bigger room because of what happened last year. So many people who signed up for Street Fighter V that year. We had a little over 1,000 people sign up for that tournament that year. And
I saw something on Reddit where they had a clip from one of the streams, and the title of it was something like, fighting game tournament has to be very quiet because hotel has told them to keep the noise down.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, you see the commentators talking about it in their microphones and then going like, they're putting their hands down saying, shh, be quiet, we can't be loud.
It's supposed to be like golf.
No, you're not getting quiet at a fighting game tournament.
I know. It was final round, though. It was final round. I'll see if I can find that for you.
Yeah,
it's a losing battle on that one.
Very losing. Shouldn't even start the battle. You might inspire someone to get louder.
Yeah.
Not loud enough because of that. But, it was a grand old time for everybody, man. We had a good time out there. It was a little better, better than what happened last year because there was a lot of issues last year with the registration system. Things were swapped around. People were jostled out of their brackets and everything. They tried to implement a new system last year, and it didn't work out well. So from the get-go for this one, they started from scratch and got everything running fine. So Larry Dixon, who runs the thing, He was really motivated to get everything right this time around because of what happened last year and the fact that it was the 20th year anniversary. So he wanted to make it real special. And it turned out, in my opinion, overall, very well. Very well.
All right.
I had a good time with everybody. Anyway, the terms I was in was in Street Fighter and Guilty Gear Xrd. And at least I still have my streak. I didn't do too well. I went like 1-2. Two losses that we got out of the tournament is... If you don't know, it's a double elimination tournament. You have to go through the entire bracket of pools and finals and play. And if you lose twice, period,
that's it.
You're gone. So two losses and you're out of the tournament completely.
Mm-hmm.
So testament to those who can go through 450 other people and get to the end and not lose
twice.
Not lose twice, just once
or none
at all.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So kudos to them for doing that. The numbers that were down for Street Fighter V this year, I think it was at 470 people who came in to play, significantly down from the over 1,000 from last year. But I talked to some folks about it, and they said basically it's because, you know, casuals, you know, they get out of it. Street Fighter V still getting a little bit of dislike from the people, especially from those who liked 4. So basically the brackets were filled with a lot of high-level or pro-level players. So some of the people that I know who went up there, made the trip up to Atlanta, couldn't get out of pools this year. I mean, the competition was that tight and serious. You know, folks who did really good last year, you know, not so much this year.
Hmm.
I mean, the competition is ratcheted up a lot. Also, the fact that a lot of changes have been made from season 1 to season 2. A lot of things that used to work before doesn't work now.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have to change characters, get used to new things. In my case, my performance was because of a lot of things I thought I could punish. Now I can't. So I was getting beat to the punch a lot in some of the matches that I was in. So it's just a matter of learning more of what I can and can't do in this game anymore.
Okay.
So yeah, but that was the same case in all in both matches really. But all I can say is that they'll go there mostly for the fun and camaraderie, and seeing some high level play and playing some other folks of that level as well. At least I didn't go 0-2 like some folks did.
Yeah.
But yeah. But like I said, it's for the fun mostly, and supporting the scene and seeing all those people get so excited playing games. Especially, also saw some really nice finals matches from Dead or Alive. There was one finals match there. I forget who the players were, but they were using two of the hardest hitting characters in the game. And it's the type of game where you make one mistake and you're pretty much going to lose like half your life playing this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he had a little, the finals matches were done and he won it and had a little, got a little emotional on stage, and all of his friends rushed the stage and was crowding around him. It was a nice little moment to see.
All right.
Had some classic games out there as well. It had little arcade cabinets in the back of the room that we were in. We took up the entire Exhibit Hall D for the center. And it had a nice little arcade cabinet set up in the back. So they had all classic, like Street Fighter Alpha 2, games like that. And so a lot of people were back there having fun with that. Had the arcade set up for Tekken 7 as well.
Okay.
You know, still working on that. So everyone had a good time with that as well. So, yeah, like I said, overall, really good time with that. And, of course, as with all fighting game tournaments, we always catch some folks on the bodied page. For those who don't know.
On the what?
The bodied page. Okay. FGC. Basically, if you go to Facebook and look up FGC Presents Bodied, you'll see a page on there of people who are caught sleeping.
On
the venue. Some folks just get so tired they can't. They don't make it. They just go to sleep wherever, whenever, whether it be on the couches outside the exhibit hall.
Oh yeah, because you stop for that moment and you know it all catches up with you.
And they or the floor itself, or the floor of the venue itself, like the cold concrete floor. There was people sleep.
Yeah,
out there as well, especially international players. They do that. I guess they have a talent for it. Sleep, able to sleep wherever and whenever.
I have that talent.
Mm-hmm. And when they get caught, they get some folks get a picture of them, put them on the Facebook page. We had the hall. I think the hall was nicknamed the Hall of Lost Souls because that's where everybody was caught. Chairs are pretty. It's big round, beanbag sized chairs. They just really huge. You could put like 4 or 5 people on the thing if you wanted to.
Man, and that's what they did. Comfy.
It was apparently because that's where we caught everybody.
I've had to sleep in some uncomfortable places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Leipzig airport was like probably the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on 24-hour hold in Leipzig, Germany, coming back from, you know, the Middle East.
Yeah.
And that, you know, those little cramped airport. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you're that tired, you know, as soon as you stop moving for a second, it all just catches up, and you're just like, all right.
Yeah. Speaking of the airport, the venue we were at. Is connected to the airport within almost walking distance really, but we had to use the tram there to go to the airport for, you know, food. Every time you want to eat something, you just take the tram, a little two minute ride on that roller coaster, go there and get something to eat. So it was pretty convenient, close by to everything you need in the airport.
Nice.
If you need everything you need, you probably go to the airport and get it. So yeah, 2 minute ride, that's it, come back.
So what's next
for final round?
Well, no, I mean, what's the next tournament coming up?
Well, I think they got the Red Bull Proving Grounds, April 1st, I think. Yeah, April 1st at Top Golf. I'm Dunwoody, Georgia, I think. I have to look it up and see, but I think, yeah.
Are you going to that one?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, this is a one-day tournament.
So oh, wow.
Go there and go and come back. That type of thing. You might get some points for the Pro Tour, Capcom's Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you maybe something worth check out. At least check out and observe more high level play.
Yeah,
see how folks do.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
No, no plans to head back to Vegas.
Not this year.
Okay.
Not this year, unless someone has some last minute plan that they want to do. But I don't know if they'll be able to do that because I think hotels probably booked up.
I know
now.
You got to get it fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, man. Yeah. Well, glad to have you back, and glad you had a good time with it.
Yeah, I did.
We're going to go to a break here in just a bit, and then when we come back, we'll talk about Matt with what he's been playing.
Yeah.
I've already really gone over everything I've played. There's really no point in me talking about what I played because I've already told you. Horizon. That was it. Not very far. Boom. We're done. We're done. So we'll be back with more in-game chat here in just a moment. Now, all of the songs, like I said, were coming from the BAFTA nominations for Best Soundtrack. However, I needed one because they only nominate six, and I have seven spots for music. So this is the one that did not come from the BAFTA nominations. So we'll be back with more of in-game chats. We go out here with music from Firewatch.
That's a good...
Yeah, we'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. Music here, all of our music has come from the BAFTA nominations. This one was a very tough one because I listened to a lot of tracks from this game and really couldn't find anything that had much more going on than what's going on in this track.
This is more ambiance.
Yes. There's very little of a theme or any kind of music going on in this game.
Background.
This is from... this is from Playdead's game Inside.
Okay.
Yeah, the same people who did Limbo.
Yeah. Well, I could see how it'd fit.
So, yeah, very, very subtle type music there with it, just basically some ambient noise. And the track before that we went out to was Firewatch, and of course that was not from any of the games that were nominated. Needed an extra one there. But all the rest of the music that you hear will be straight from the BAFTA awards there.
It should have been nominated.
Yeah. Who do we have on the phone?
Chris.
All right, we'll talk to Chris real quick before we get to you and your games that you've played. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Oh, not a much. Thanks for calling in and giving us some tips on the Zelda stuff every time we had questions coming up, because I haven't touched the game. So.
every time we got it wrong.
You're talking about the OCD, about wanting to pick up everything and do everything, you know, everything you come across.
Yeah.
Of course, there's 120 shrines, you know, they increased your stats, but there's also those Korok seeds that you can get from, like, the spirit... four spirit-like creatures, kind of like from the anime series.
What do they do?
They give you seeds, and then there's just a special character you come across as a quest, and you trade in, like, one seed or so many seeds, and he upgrades your ability to hold more weapons, armors, bows, and shields.
Okay, got it.
And since you got the hardback edition, you'll have a big unfolded, you know, a map that you can unfold that shows you locations and everything. If you want to get every single one of those seeds in there, good luck. I just looked at the map. There is 900 seeds to collect.
Yeah, somebody earlier this week collected all of them, and they got a really stupid prize for doing it.
Like in the game?
Or... Yeah, in the game.
Yeah, in the game.
In the game, they got a really dumb... It was...
Like not worth it?
It was basically a piece of poop.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that. I think it was a golden piece of poop. Or I remember somebody... showing it on YouTube.
I mean, it was essentially that. That's what it essentially was. It, even the description.
The golden poo?
Says that you got this thing, this mound of blah, blah, blah stuff. It stinks really bad. That's all you got.
And I think the only thing it does is every time that you trade in seeds, the guy starts doing a dance with his maracas. And I think all it does is lets him play that, you know, do that little dance over and over again at will.
Yeah, completely ridiculous. I have no intention of collecting all 900.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I have intention of collecting enough so that I can upgrade all those things you were talking about, but really, I have no intention of pulling a Crackdown on this or the Assassin's Creed Feather game or anything like that.
Or would it be a Crapdown?
Yeah. Is there any crafting in this game?
It's so horrible, man.
There are certain unique weapons that once they break, you can bring certain materials back to, you know, where you found them. You know, there's a blacksmith in each of the four major towns, you know, the different creature towns like the Gorons and the Zora and stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you turn in those supplies, they can rebuild it and repair it for you.
Okay, I'm calling it now. That golden poo is
going
to be an essential item for making a special weapon.
There probably, you know, there's probably more to it than just that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also giving Nintendo a lot more credit to think that there's something, you know, something underlying there than just a golden piece of poo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be worthwhile to go through and get the shrines because from what I've read and seen on that other video, that it unlocks classic gear like the other Zeldas and make him look like the original Link from like Ocarina of Time and stuff. And you can upgrade them. You know, the upgrade rating on their armor rating is the best out there that you could get without spending a bunch of money on the amiibos and stuff and unlocking it that other one that way.
Yeah. I've got a few amiibos. I'm curious what'll...
Like if you have like the Zelda-based amiibos, they unlock weapons. Like you get... I saw a video about this.
But yeah, you can only do it once a day, but you can trick it if you set the clock to manual, you can fast forward or rewind the clock a day and keep unlocking them.
Yeah. Mm.
I've got
different amiibos will like give you a different weapon.
I only have one Link amiibo, and it's the Toon Link. From the Smash Brothers.
Okay.
That's the only one. The one from Wind Waker.
The only amiibo I have is the 8-bit Mario. I wanted to get the 8-bit Link.
Well, I've got a few. I've got the 8-bit Mario.
Just because I think it's neat.
Yeah. I got the 8-bit Mario. I've got Toon Link. I've got Pac-Man. And I've got the Metroid, not Zero Suit.
Okay, just regular Samus?
Yeah, just regular. I want to say I got something else, but I think that's all that I've got for that. I got a few of the little Disney Infinity ones too, but those are defunct now, which is fine with me. I don't mind. I got the ones that I wanted out of that collection. So, well, what else? Anything else you've been playing, Chris? Just that, probably.
Just that. And like you're saying before, you've been playing Horizon. I'm playing. Well, Horizon. What's that? I haven't been played. I hadn't even thought about wanting to turn the PlayStation on since then.
Yeah. Well, you probably don't even remember where I'm at because I am so far. Early into that game.
Yeah, I'm pretty far ahead of you. I know where you're at. But yeah, for as level wise, I think I'm like level 26 or 27 now, just from exploring and just having fun killing stuff.
Yeah, I need to get into that realm. To where I can start really doing that, but right now I think I'm level 6, so I'm really low level on that. But all right, well, we appreciate you calling in, Chris.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Take care, buddy.
All right, bye.
Bye bye. Mm-hmm. If you want to call in, we are taking calls. You can give us a call. 334-272-9228 is the number. 334-272-9228. Be like Katie. You haven't called in before. You're nervous about it. Well, call in. Say hello.
Make fun of us. I don't care.
I'd rather you not. Talk to us about the games that you're playing or ask questions about some games or something like that we might can help out with.
Okay, but, I take it back.
You know, you want to call in and make fun of Matt, you are more than welcome to. He just gave his approval for you to do that. So I will give the number again, 334-272-9228.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Speaking of making fun of Matt, what have you been playing lately?
Wait, what?
Stardew Valley.
No, I have been playing some more Stardew Valley.
Right, of course, yes.
Because it is a lot of fun. Going back through Majora's Mask.
All right.
I've only beat that game once, but I really, really enjoy it. It's a fun game. It's like really unusual in the Zelda series. You know, as far as like tone, and it's like, you know, super dark and everything, like the mechanics of just like 3 days that you just rewind. So I'm enjoying that. But today, I streamed a little bit.
You did, I know.
And Hitman had a new elusive target.
Yes.
Elusive target 22. Which
they're apparently, you know, we talked about this back when they started doing these elusive targets, and we thought, well, what happens when we get to the end of the season? They're going to stop doing them. And no, apparently not.
Yeah, they're going to keep
on. They're just going to keep doing them.
Which makes me, I mentioned it in the stream, you know, when I was playing that, you know, I'm kind of upset that I've missed so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the fifth one that I've done. I've beaten four, and I failed one. Hmm. So out of 22, I've done five.
How did you do on this one?
I beat it.
Okay.
I lucked out. Kevin was watching me. And
all right.
There are some, you know, I love the elusive targets because it's a certain amount of intensity that goes into it because you're allowed to restart, you know, like it says, you know, you can't save and, you know, once you play it, you can't save. It's a one, it's sort of like a one shot deal in a way, but you could restart it as long as you haven't started on your objectives. So if the objective is, you know, take out this person, find this item, you know, the instant you pick up the item or take out the person, you're locked in.
Yeah.
So that gives it that sense of urgency and just sort of like, you know, nervousness in a way.
You said intensity. I was like to say pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pressure.
So, and if you get killed, that's it. You're done. So luckily this one was in Colorado, the mission, which I've done before. My very first elusive target was in Colorado. So, I didn't have to restart it at all. I'm like, I'm just going to try it first shot. Let's go do this.
I didn't think you were allowed to restart it.
If you haven't started your objectives, you can restart.
Yeah.
So if you're going through and they spot you and they start firing on you before you die,
you can restart.
You know, then you
but if you've completed any one of the objectives,
then you're done.
You're stuck in there and have to finish.
The elusive targets, these are the ones with the celebrities in it.
When it first started.
They only did it once.
Gary
Busey
and Gary Cole was in that mission too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about to ask if they had any more celebrities since then.
Didn't
they have something with Christmas and the wet bandits from Home Alone?
Well, they do have alternate missions upon the main,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Paris, the alternate mission was the Christmas.
Okay.
What was the next one? You know, so they do have like alternate stuff where you could go back through. The one in Bangkok, I forget what if they've had an alternate for that one yet. But I mean, like, so they do have,
mm-hmm.
so you could try it. The one in Italy and Sapienza, you're on a movie set.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, the map's a little bit different. They have the movie set with the monsters and the action heroes and all that kind of stuff. But this is just, it's the actual, you're in the main Colorado mission. Mm-hmm. And, like, I see, like, the other targets that, you know, normally you would be going after. But this one, you know, they're not your targets. With the elusive target, they don't show up on the map. So, like, because when you go into your, I guess, you know, Spidey sense, you know, or 47 cents, whatever, mm-hmm. the targets will be red. So they show up on the map, you know, like, well, not on the map, but like, you know, in your vision, everything goes black and white and like they show up in red. This one, it's not that way at all. So you have to basically eyeball, you know, like, all right, you're scanning around everybody, seeing like, which one of these guys is this, you know, person.
Mm.
And so I did it. And I decided to snipe this one, you know, because it's in Colorado is a good sniping area for that map. And, you know, I snuck in and got up to my little perch, you know, and got my sniper rifle out. And I'm just, like, scanning around the area because I thought he'd be in the house, you know, in the little compound house. And I'm just looking around, and I just saw him outside. And I'm like, all right, now's my chance. Mm-hmm. He stopped for a minute, started looking on his iPad, and I'm like, you know what? Bam! Just got him right then and there. And then I'm like, all right, I'm locked into this, so let's do it. And so I just, you know, fled from that area because they started, you know, looking around. Then I found where, you know, because you also have to pick up a, you know, like a tablet or something like that. And so, like, I found where that was. And then I'm about to escape. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got noticed by the cameras. I'm like, ah, I forgot to take out one of the side cameras on the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back inside the house and find out where they store, you know, the camera the servers for the camera. And I'm like, all right, there's a guy right in front of it. And I'm like, you know, as soon as I'm going to try something, he's going to notice me. So I, you know, threw something to distract him.
Mm-hmm.
He turned around, like took a shot at the camera system. And he's turned around, started looking at me, and like the meter when they start to notice you, you know, it gives you that little bit of grace period. It's like, you know, what?
Yeah.
And so it's right about then. I'm just like just walking out of there. And luckily, I just missed it, walked out, and I'm like, made it. I'm kind of surprised it worked.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy those elusive targets. They add something to it. The normal game itself is fun, and the escalation missions are fun. This has got to be my favorite Hitman in the series so far. Mm-hmm. I've been playing them since one.
Yeah.
But this one is really well done. The maps are really nice. I love how they just keep on continuing with the content. You know, they're continuing like, all right, here's some new elusive targets, or here's some new escalation missions, or mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So they're supporting it way more than I thought that they would.
Yeah, they're doing a fantastic job of supporting it. And it was one of those things that I thought they wouldn't be able to keep. I thought, what are they going to happen when they're done?
Yeah.
And they release this as a box copy, and then, you know, I still regret it not playing it like you did, which was getting it immediately and then playing it monthly.
Yeah.
So I could have gone through. Now I'm overwhelmed with just stuff I can go do.
Mm-hmm.
And
because even when I got it, I was like, all right.
I don't feel like there's any replay value for me because I have the next mission I can move on to. Whereas when you played it, you were stuck with that one mission.
And so you're trying to
do
different
things. And
you could
do it all the different ways, yeah.
But I was, I think, three missions into it before I started going through. You know, because like I bought it when it first came out, so I had just the training mission. Then they released Paris, and I'm like, I'll wait a while. You know, I'll try it a little bit, but then I waited. Then they released, you know, Sapienza. I'm like, okay, I got three missions now. I'll wait a bit. So once they finally released the one after that, I think it was not Bangkok, but Marrakesh.
Yeah.
So once they released Marrakesh, I'm like, you know what? I got some missions. Let me try it. And then, like, as I was playing through it, I was like, you know, they give you the experience points, which gives you equipment and, you know, weapons or, you know, like the loot kind of. And so that's the incentive I found to go back through. Even though I had these other missions that were available in the other place, I'm like, oh, well, you know what? This other mission, I could really use this weapon or this item that was available, you know, that I had to work on the XP on, you know, three missions before.
Mm-hmm.
So you really get to know the area, you get to know the maps, the, you know, the routes of people, all these kind of things, because you try them over and over and again, you know, to like, all right, let's try and do this objective to get this number of points to, you know, boost my ratings and my XP, so that way I could finally have the explosive rubber ducky that looks like so much fun. Then you get the explosive rubber ducky, and you're just like, rubber duck.
That's a real item, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real item.
There's more than one explosive rubber.
Yeah, you said three types, yeah.
Yeah, there's the proximity, the regular, there's the remote detonation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gotta love the rubber duckies.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like the different weapons too, like even like with the sniper rifles, and you know, one of them will be silenced, or one of them will have like a 3x zoom and stuff like that. And so you're like, all right, that 3x zoom would be really nice to have because I'm kind of far away. Let me do this other mission, get up enough experience points to get that. And when you get to Hokkaido, the last one, you're not allowed to have any items with you. Like, when you start the mission, you're just in, like, your little bathrobe and everything. And you had to, like, get all
on-site
20 levels.
On-site procurement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you had to, like, basically get all 20 levels worth of XP to unlock the ability to use, you know, to start the game with items. And I'm like, that was actually kind of cool. Because then you're, you know, it brings a different play style to it. Because then once I got all, you know, once I was able to get items into it, then I'm like, okay, now I could start with, you know, the lockpick. And I could start with a gun, you know, and I could start with, you know, putting stuff over here in this place. And, you know, that made it interesting. So, and that also went through with, I noticed I was watching someone else play the elusive targets, the one that I failed, the surgeons. They hadn't unlocked that ability. So when they started the elusive targets, they weren't able to have any kind of weapons or items with them. Whereas when I tried it, I was able to like figure out, all right, which weapons and items do I want to bring. So that affects also the elusive targets too, if you haven't unlocked that ability. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Okay.
But I am really, really enjoying the Hitman. I'd recommend it to anybody who's ever liked the series or just been curious about it. I can't, you know, rave about it enough. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Lethal Migraine says this game failed itself by being episodic, and
I disagree with that.
Oh, no, I totally disagree with it. Although, beforehand, before the game even released, I was really...
Skeptical.
Very skeptical about it.
Yeah, like an episodic hitman. I'm like, okay.
I was extremely skeptical about
it. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
But after owning the full version, I wish I had bought it episodic. You know, I wish I'd gone the episode route.
Because, you know, with other episodic stuff like the Telltale games, right? You know, I typically wait until the entire episode's done. You know, the season's done before I play it, because then you're not sitting there waiting like, all right, gotta wait 2 months now.
Not only that, your recollection of what happened in the previous episode is very fresh.
Yeah. So, but this isn't like that.
That doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, at all. You know, if anything, you know, that extra time in between the months is what really helps out with, you know, just, all right, let's really get into this level. Let's really explore every nook and cranny, every, you know, thing, you know, like just really suck the marrow out of that bones.
Think about losing information. The Wolf Among Us comes to mind immediately when I think about that. Because I think I did buy that in bits and pieces as it came out.
Okay.
So, yeah, so thank goodness in that game there was a on last episode.
Yeah, they typically do the recaps. But you don't remember everything, or at least I don't. Cause
I just know that I had a much more fulfilling time playing Walking Dead Season 1 after it had all released than I did playing Walking Dead Season 2.
As it was releasing.
As it was releasing. Yeah. I liked it a lot better the other way around. I did Wolf Among Us the same way, and I would have preferred to have played it as it had after it had all released.
Is the Batman finally done? The
Batman's done, yeah.
I might pick that one up then.
Batman's done. Game of Thrones is done. Tales from the Borderlands is done.
Yeah, I did the Tales from the
next thing we're waiting on to finish, I think, is... Or we're waiting to start and finish, I think, is Guardians.
Are they doing a Season 3 of Walking Dead?
Season 3 did start for Walking Dead.
Okay.
Yeah, Season 3 has started for Walking Dead, so we're waiting for them to finish that one up before I start playing it. And then they're going to start Guardians as well, so... I don't think they've announced any other titles that they've brought. In fact, they had somebody, one of their head guys, leave this week.
Really?
Yeah. I've got the article right here. Their CEO stepped down from Telltale Games. Co-founder Dan Connors took the place. Kevin Bruner had been the CEO of Telltale since January 2015. Kevin departing, and it doesn't tell why he's leaving. Not exactly sure why. Telltale has completed a major round of marketing for its Walking Dead series, as well as its upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy title. In the internal email shared with Kotaku, Bruner told his staff that it was time for him to move on. "We've grown aggressively since Telltale's inception, and now Telltale is bigger than I ever dreamed it would be. There are many possible futures for Telltale, and all of them are exciting and uniquely challenging. The time has come to pass the reins to someone that can better drive Telltale to the next level and realize all the potential that is here." That's an interesting way of putting a reason for leaving the company that is so successful. You know, I'm not sure exactly the reason.
Number speculation at this point.
Like, he could have he didn't even have to step down. I guess he could have stepped back a little bit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that just seems interesting. Interesting as to the reason. Yeah. Anyway, we're coming up on our next break, and when we come back, we will go over some of the news that we had this week. We got PlayStation Plus games already revealed. Capcom working on some stuff, Nintendo Switch numbers again, Horizon Zero Dawn numbers as well, and apparently phone calls also. So whoever's on the phone, thank you for calling, and please hold. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will get to your phone call. Again, more music from the BAFTA Award nominations. This is a award-nominated soundtrack, and this is Last Guardian. The track is called Overture Lore. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. Thank you. And welcome back to In Game Chat, another BAFTA-nominated soundtrack, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
That was a good one.
Different composer than Uncharted 1, 2, and 3.
Well, different...
different all around, really.
Yeah. But it was still fun.
The Uncharted collection is 1, 2, and 3 together, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Huh. And remastered, I guess. Or
all remastered?
Yes.
With the exception, I think, maybe of Uncharted... Uncharted 3 may have a little bit of shine
but
on it.
But not nearly as much as 1.
Nothing as much as 1 and 2.
Yeah. Because...
And if you have the PlayStation headphones like this, they have that little... the app. Yeah. The sound app. Which I was hoping they would have done for Resident Evil.
It's weird. It's still bought 2 and 3 on PS3. Haven't played them yet. Got them, so...
That Uncharted collection is probably cheap enough to where you could pick that up and be okay.
I think last time I checked, it was $20.
Yeah.
$20.
For 3 games.
For 3 games.
I could just let you borrow my copy, honestly.
Mine's digital.
Yeah. See, I got the... I had to get the European version. I had my buddy Chris from... I don't know if he's on any... I know that he has his own podcast now, but Chris O'Regan's his name. And he's from the UK, and he does a podcast called The Sausage Factory. And it's all about how a game gets made. He picks a developer, and he picks a game, and he's like, okay, let's walk us through pitch to product, you know? And they go through how they develop the game. They go, it's a really in-depth look at the making of a particular game.
Interesting.
Oh, it's fantastic. Fantastic show. And he may be on another podcast, like on a weekly sort of thing, but I don't know if he is or not. Mm. It's been a while since I haven't talked to him since PAX Prime when we got in line and did the breakfast thing together, like we usually do. So. Yeah. let's go to the phones real quick and talk to, I think is this Gaines?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Gaines, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Montgomery, Alabama.
All right, man. What you call for? What you got?
All right, well, I'm building a game computer, and I'm trying to do it budgetly because I don't have a lot of money to spend on, like, a super high-tech game computer, but I want one that's better than my laptop at the moment.
All right, well...
Still want to be able to run stuff.
Yeah, that is an easy answer, and I'm glad that you waited on the phone to... I know that Matt gave you the answer that I'm about to give you as well, but to put it out there again so everybody else can hear it, if you are building your own PC and you have a certain budget you want to stay within, the best place to go is PCPartPicker.com. It is PCPartPicker.com.
Okay, part as in singular? Or is it parts?
No, part.
Okay.
One part.
One part picker.
Yeah, PCPartPicker.com. there you can... it'll search every component of the build that you're going to have. You know, it'll list processors, and you can sort it by price, by performance. You can sort all these things. You can create wish lists. So you could create builds out of all these things. And when it totals up, you can see how much total that build is going to cost you, and if you're in budget. Then you could add and remove parts as you need to fit within your budget. So you can go nuts and build a dream machine and say, okay, that's way too much money. Let me start cutting back on these other things that I don't need.
I might not need the 5 terabytes of solid state drive.
Yeah, let me take out some of these excessive spendings and put something else in and see if I can get it to a budget that I'm willing to pay. But yeah, PCPartPicker.com is the best place for you to go.
So I had another question.
Sure.
I would like to know some specs you could recommend for an entry-level gaming computer.
Entry-level gaming computer, man.
Like i7, i5 for processor?
You know, I haven't done any research on processors in forever.
I feel, unfortunately, the same way.
Yeah, I would say, well, RJ, what about you? Because
you've kind of been doing one.
I do i5 because i7 is... like top of the line right now, right?
Yeah.
And I've always gone a step back, and I'm thinking most requirements I've seen on games require like the doesn't require an i7, it's like an i5 or so.
Okay.
So I went the i5 route. I still use an i5.
i5's a good way to go on that as far as your processor is concerned. Mm-hmm. You really want to get 16 gigs of RAM. I know you'll probably think 8, but just go ahead and get 16 gigs. You're not going to be spending that much money on the RAM anyway.
Hey, Gaines, what games do you want to play? Because that might also determine how intense you you might want to look.
Well, mostly at the moment I'm doing YouTube on Minecraft, but I'd like to start getting some more high graphical games. Like, I wanted to play Rocket League Skyrim, some shooter games on my computer.
Okay.
You know, stuff that takes more graphics than an i3 processor.
Okay. An i5, I think, would be able to handle that.
Yeah. I would go i5. I would start with your i5. You know what? Maybe start with i7. See, again, the best thing about PC Part Picker is that you can build what you think is a beast and then say, okay, it doesn't fall within my budget. Let me take out some parts and replace some parts to have it fall within my budget. So I don't want to say limit yourself to an i5. If you could find an i7 that fits what you need and it falls
might
in within,
be a good price, a
falls
deal.
Within your budget. Yeah.
Yeah.
So look for those things.
Compatibility. Did you mention that as well? It automatically tells.
It automatically does compatibility. So if you pick a certain kind of processor, and then you pick a motherboard that processor doesn't fit, it won't let you do that.
Yep.
It'll say, look, this motherboard's not compatible with the processor you've selected, so you'll have to pick a different motherboard. It takes all of that into account so that everything can be compatible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very fantastic website for you to build a PC with. And on the graphics card thing, the budget one, the good budget one to go with right now is a 970.
That's 980, I believe.
You have a 980?
I thought so.
Did you get a 980? I got a 980 Ti.
I thought I had.
I thought you got a 970.
Is it? I don't know. It's still good.
Yeah. Do you have what? If you have what James has, you have a 970.
Okay, then I have a 970.
Yeah, 970 is a good one to go with right now.
Yeah.
That's probably around 250 or 300, I think. And it's probably going to be your most expensive thing to buy next to your processor. I don't know what your budget is. I wasn't even going to ask you what your budget is, but like I said, PCPartPicker.com is the best place you can go to put all this stuff together and find out what you need to do to fit within whatever budget you have.
Yeah.
I would say also, you know, don't get too skimpy on the power supply.
Nope. Power supply, that'd be my next advice, is never shorthand your power supply. That will ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the best of the best, but if you get a power supply that can't handle it, you can't do anything with it. And if you get a power supply that is overpowered to do what you need it to do,
that can also hurt it.
Then you're fine. I mean, you're able to expand. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you don't want to go nuts. You don't want to get something that can run on 500 watts and you get a 1500 watt thing.
Yeah.
But
something down the line for the future. If you want to add if you want to change parts out, want to get something more powerful, you'll have the power supply. You'll have the power to back it up.
I got a 1200 in mine, and I don't have to worry about what parts I put in or take out of that thing because my 1200 is going to do the job.
Yeah. The old computer that I've got now, I've had it for 8 years. I've got a Roswell 950.
Right. You can take that out of that system.
I can take it out of there
and
put in my new one because it still provides enough power for what I got in there now.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have to buy a monitor and all that other stuff, or you got everything carried over from? Well, I guess not. You're trying to beat something. Beat your laptop. So.
Well, I already have a monitor, keyboard, mouse.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that helps.
It's fine.
You got an operating.
Well, need the tower.
Yeah, you need an operating system, I guess, too. Yes. Those aren't too bad though. You can get those OEM, and they're less than $100 usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, just head over to PCPartPicker.com and go nuts, man. Seriously, go nuts. And also, if you think about it, give us a call, you know, next week or in a few weeks, and let us know how your progress is coming. Let us know what you decided to do.
I would definitely do that.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling, Gaines.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
Take care now.
All right, if you want to get your call in, we got about 15 more minutes, but 334-272-9228 is the number to do that. 272-9228. Let's go over some of the news that we had. Some numbers for Horizon Zero Dawn that we've been talking about. I really wish this game had, this needs a PC release so bad.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. You have no idea. Horizon Zero Dawn had the best launch for a Sony published new IP in PlayStation 4 history.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The well-established Uncharted franchise topped 2.7 million units with Uncharted 4 in its first week of release last May. Horizon Zero Dawn has sold more than 2.6 million copies within its first 2 weeks. So it did in 2 weeks what Uncharted 4 did in just 1 week. But that's still pretty awesome for a brand new IP.
Yeah, Uncharted 4 has also had, you know, games to build upon.
Oh, my God. And Last of Us and everything else. They had a pedigree to build on. Sony said that Horizon Zero Dawn's launch is the biggest debut ever for Guerrilla Games, which started with Killzone. So, yeah, it's a really great, it's the game's beautiful, guys. I can't tell you how pretty this game is. It is so, so beautiful. And I'm playing on a PS4. I wish I was playing it on a PC just so I could really
crank up the graphics.
Slider up to...
Well, I can watch it in 14... I can play it in 14.4.
Yeah.
Because I'm only using a 1080p screen. I've got a PS4 Pro, which could do 4K, but I don't have a 4K set. But I do have a 1440 monitor on my PC that I would love to play on and see that thing just, oh, God, look amazing. So it did fine. We talked about Telltale's game CEO stepping down.
Mm-hmm.
We found out a new PlayStation Plus game that we're going to get to play whenever it does release in April, and that is Drawn to Death, which is the new game from David Jaffe, who did God of War and Twisted Metal. So his new title, Drawn to Death, will be available for free as part of PS Plus in April.
Yay.
So you get one of your games there. The other news was that Nintendo Switch has sold 1.5 million worldwide. Good job for them. They're doubling the production from what I read. They're going to double the production.
Okay.
So you should start seeing these more in stores. Full Throttle Remastered got a release date.
Oh, when?
It's going to be out in April on PC, PS4, and Vita.
I know what I'll be buying.
And that date is April 18th. $15. Little man, put that in my hand. If that money doesn't show.
What was the number for, did you mention Zelda?
You know,
the numbers for that?
Zelda.
My jungler.
I didn't have any numbers for Zelda. I said that Nintendo Switch has sold 1.5 million.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to compare the number of Switches sold to the number of units for Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I had that in last week's news.
Oh, okay, last week.
Yeah, okay, you weren't here.
Yeah.
I had that in last week's news. Let me pull that up real quick and see if I can tell you as this thing loads.
Slowly.
God. this thing still does what I need it to do. This is a 2009 MacBook Pro.
Yeah, if it still works, it still works.
And it does, and I really have no reason to get another one. Mm-hmm. Let me see here.
I got my ticket for Celebration for next month.
Okay.
So I'm happy. My four-day pass came in the mail.
4 days off. Okay.
I'm taking the entire week off.
Oh, the entire week.
Yeah.
Got to recover. Recover.
Celebration starts on Thursday, and I'm going up with Garrison members. Well, going down, I guess, to Florida with Garrison members. And before that, we're going to go to Disney World.
Okay.
So I'm picking up some Disney World passes. Okay. And
starts Thursday?
Yep. So you're Thursday through Sunday.
So you're going to go to day zero, the day before?
If they allow it, I know I'm definitely, I'm telling every, like the guys like, hey, look, we need to get into the opening ceremonies because that's when most likely, if it's like Celebration Anaheim, that's when they're going to show the trailer for The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. And so I got to be on that one. And I also really, really am going to try my hardest to get into the Star Wars 40th anniversary panel.
Right. Okay.
Because... I'm hoping, I've heard rumors that George Lucas might be there for that, and that'd be awesome. But if not, still,
Is Lucas praised among the fan base?
It depends.
Okay.
I think that's an individual thing.
Yeah.
Some fans still don't like.
I mean, I'm sure they look at him as like, hey, thanks for making this.
He's the creator. He's
stay the hell away from it now.
Yeah, and I am, I kind of fall in that where I'm kind of glad that he's not a part of it.
Yeah.
I like what he started. I don't hate the prequels like a lot of people do, you know. I'm not bitter about them. I'm not, I'm like, whatever. They're movies. I like movies. Mm-hmm. So, yep. So I got my Star Wars Celebration ticket, and I'm happy.
Nice.
Now I'm just going to try and figure out which costumes to bring.
On the comparisons for the numbers you were looking for, I can't really tell you anything. They haven't really released any numbers on Zelda Breath of the Wild. Nintendo has said that it's sold a bunch, and it's made history with how much it's sold. Mm-hmm. They didn't release any numbers to go along with that.
Okay.
What you're going to find out is at the end of the month when the MPD rankings come out, the MPD numbers hit,
right,
we'll have some idea of how well this did, especially since we're going to look at console sales and we can look at, on the Nintendo side of things, since this is an exclusive title,
yeah,
it's very unlikely that a majority of the people bought this digitally. Most of them bought it mm-hmm. physical.
Yeah.
So we'll have some numbers there to see what sold better.
Yeah, because we were talking about it a while back how Zelda seemed to be the top of the line for the Switch right now. So that may have been the reasons why the Switch was selling so well, because to get that new Zelda game.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to think about did it push systems or did it have a break, because it's still available on the Wii U, right? It's mm-hmm. also available on the Wii U, so yeah, that may have cut into it a little bit of the numbers as well. But I was thinking Zelda is the reason that Zelda is the reason
sold.
The Switch is selling very well. So I was trying to see if the numbers compared to back me up on that.
Yeah. And I'm curious about it as well. And mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll find that out once those numbers are released and we get an idea of how it did
the breakdown
throughout the month.
Yeah. See, I'm curious. Yeah, the breakdown between in the two systems, which, you know, did more buy it on the Wii U, did more buy it on the mm-hmm. Switch.
Yeah. One of the other things that was announced was Capcom announced the Disney Afternoon Collection. This is a nostalgia trip.
Yeah, with DuckTales, Chippendales, Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, and Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, also mm-hmm. DuckTales 2 and Chippendales 2.
Oh, I didn't know about the
yeah,
sequels.
Yeah, the two sequels, yeah. I've played both of those, by the way, on my Nintendo Classic.
Oh, geez.
It was one of those that I put in there, and I could play those. It's
yeah.
hard to go back.
It can be.
It's
yeah.
really hard to go back to those games, because, oh, man. But they have announced that they're going to release them all as one pack. It's a collection of six classic Disney collaborations into a remastered collection for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. It'll be out April 18th. It'll cost $20, and you'll get six games with it. Chippendales Rescue Rangers 1 and 2, DuckTales 1 and 2, Darkwing Duck, and Tailspin. Mm. So, each game will feature 1080p HD support, new graphical filtering options, and all new modes like Boss Rush and Time Attack. There'll also be a rewind feature, allowing for more forgiving checkpointing. And a Disney Museum will contain bonus features like concept art, ads, music, and character designs. Mm. So that's what you'll get with the Disney Afternoon Collection.
I never played the Darkwing yeah. Duck game.
No. I didn't play Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, Chippendales 2, but I did play DuckTales 2. I remember playing that.
Hmm. The only Disney game I played was Castle of Illusion.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's right. That wasn't yeah. part of the Disney Afternoon. They were doing. No. They were based on the, mm-hmm. you know, the afternoon stuff that you'd yeah. watch on TV when you came home from school and
right.
and stuff. So, mm-hmm. I'm trying to answer somebody's question in the thing of where I get my random facts from every week, every day.
Randomly?
No, I don't. I get them directly from. I'll tell you where I get them from, and I tell people this too. I tell them I get them from Reddit. You can go straight to Reddit and find these things. They're fantastic.
Was it like Today I Learned?
Mm-hmm. I do them every day on the morning show. Bloop. There we go. Gave him the link there. Anyway, we got about 7 minutes left, and I got nothing else to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to be. What comes out this week? Does the show come out this week?
The show comes out on the 28th, yeah.
Yeah.
Also.
The 28th?
28th of March.
So that's yeah. not this coming
not,
week.
Not this coming week, no. But also, like we were talking about, all this stuff coming out in the first quarter of 2017. The new DLC for Dark Souls 3 comes out on that day as well.
Oh.
The Ringed City, I think it's called. But mm-hmm. yeah, that comes out on the 28th as well. So, I mean, we're getting overloaded with the titles, man, this first quarter
yeah.
of the year. We really are. But not that it's a bad thing, but.
Yeah. But when you have a backlog cattle, you know.
Yeah, the backlog's only going to get worse.
Yeah, it's never been a thing I've always complained. I've never complained about.
Yeah.
You know, whenever they overload us with this, I never really complain about it.
No.
I do complain, though, with the fact that they look at, they've got that fall period, fall winter period done from like mm-hmm. September. Now it's kind of even a little bit into late August through Thanksgiving on into sometimes in the first week of December, because that's when we got Last Guardian.
Right.
They got that covered. They're good. They got it covered. Mm-hmm. Lately, they've been covering the first of the year from about February on.
Mm-hmm.
February till about May. They get things covered with nothing but games for you. And then May gets some as well, because that's where we got Doom. That's where we got the Wolf stuff that BioWare did. Mm-hmm. Not BioWare. Who is that? Bethesda. The stuff that Bethesda did.
Okay.
For the revamps of all these older games that they had. Mm-hmm. And so that's good as well. It's the summer months. It's from like late May to early August. It's a dead zone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They released the last thing I can remember getting released around that time. Wasn't Uncharted last year. Uncharted released, I think, in May of last year. I know Last of Us was a big release, and that released while I was at E3. Mm-hmm. Arkham Knight released during the summer, but it was horribly, you know, buggy and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see, what do we have this week? Mass Effect Andromeda is this week. I thought it was next week, but Mass Effect Andromeda is next week. Or this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty much it until MLB The Show, and then, until the 28th. God. Okay. All right. Fine. A lot of stuff to,
Yeah?
The Zero Escape games come out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A new one?
No. It's a remastered version of the first two. It's going to be released on the Vita.
Okay.
They've already been released on the 3DS, and the third game was released on Vita.
The Vita. Yeah.
So these are the first two that did not get Vita releases. They're remastered versions for the PS Vita.
Okay.
That's fantastic. What I like about that is that means maybe they'll hit a PS Plus eventually down the road somewhere, and I can get those. So, all right, folks. Well, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room, and everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs our show each week from iTunes, or, you know, however you get it for later use. We do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net and join us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook and our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Subscribe to us there. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4, join our community there. And if you're on Xbox One, join our group there as well. We're all over the place. You can play games with us and other listeners. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We're going to see you next Saturday. Leave you with our final BAFTA-dominated soundtrack. This comes from a game called Virginia, and the track title is Images. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday.